Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into Richard Haas's A World in Disarray. Sophie, you've been in the foreign policy world a bit, so I'm curious, what did this book make you feel?
Hey there, Sam. Honestly, it made me feel a little uneasy, but in a good way. Haas basically says the international order we've relied on since World War II is coming apart. And he's not just talking about a rough patch, he's saying the whole system is broken.
Right, and that's a big claim. But he backs it up with this sweeping history lesson, starting back in 1648 with the Peace of Westphalia. That's when the idea of sovereign states first took hold, right?
Exactly. And then he walks us through the Congress of Vienna and the post-war period, where the US basically built the most successful order yet. It had NATO, the UN, open markets, and all that stuff. And for a while, it worked.
It worked so well that we started to take it for granted. But now, he says that order is eroding. And the first big reason is that America is stepping back. We're tired, we're polarized, and we don't want to be the world's policeman anymore.
Yeah, and that creates a power vacuum. The second driver is China. They're not just joining the order, they want to rewrite the rules. They're pushing state capitalism and a different way of governing that challenges everything we built.
And then there's Russia, which is just being openly aggressive. But here's the part that really got me, Sophie. Haas says the very nature of power is changing. It's not just about armies and economies anymore.
Oh, totally. Non-state actors like ISIS or even big corporations can wield massive influence without a single tank. And the information revolution, it's made it so easy for disinformation to spread and for governments to lose control.
So, sovereignty, that whole Westphalian idea, is under assault from all sides. Climate change doesn't care about borders. Cyber attacks don't either. And that's why Syria became such a mess. It's the perfect example of a world in disarray.
Right? You've got the US, Russia, Iran, Turkey, the Kurds, ISIS, all these actors pulling in different directions. The old tools of statecraft just don't work there. And Haas uses that to show how the UN is often paralyzed.
Yeah, and he doesn't just point at Syria. He talks about North Korea and the South China Sea, showing how alliances are fraying and deterrence is less credible. It's a lot of bad news, but he's not a pessimist, is he?
No, he's a realist. He says we're not headed for a new world war, but we are entering an era of managed chaos. It's not about solving problems. It's about keeping them from spiraling out of control.
That's such a sobering shift. So what's his prescription? He's not just saying everything's broken. He must have some ideas.
He does. He calls it pragmatic realism. The key concept is sovereign obligation. That means sovereignty isn't just a right. It's a responsibility. States have to be held accountable for how they treat their people and their neighbors.
So intervention, whether through sanctions or even force, becomes legitimate when a state fails in that duty, like in Libya or Syria or Rwanda, where the world just stood by.
Exactly. And for the US, he advocates restraint and renewal. Restraint doesn't mean isolationism. It means being more selective about where we use our power, focusing on core interests like preventing a major war and keeping the global economy stable.
And renewal means rebuilding at home, our economy, our education system, our infrastructure, because that's the real foundation of our global strength. He's saying we need to lead by example, not just by force.
And he's deeply skeptical of grand strategies. He thinks the goal of foreign policy isn't to end war or spread democracy, but to make the world better, not perfect. That means accepting that some conflicts are just going to be with us.
That feels almost humbling. He wants a modern concert of great powers, like the one in the 19th century, where the big players agree to manage their differences and prevent escalation, especially between the US and China.
Right. They don't have to be friends, but they have to find a way to compete without blowing each other up. It's about coexistence, not conversion.
I think the part that stuck with me most is his point about humility. We can't fix everything, and we shouldn't try. The world is messy, And we have to learn to manage that mess rather than pretending we can clean it all up.
Yeah, that's the mature takeaway. We're not going back to the post-war order, and we shouldn't try. The task ahead is to build something new, something more flexible, that can handle the chaos without falling apart.
And that's a much harder job than just repeating the old playbook. It requires patience, clear eyes, and a willingness to work with people we don't agree with.
Absolutely. And if you want to dig deeper into these ideas, you can find the whole library over at 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, starting at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access.
Well, that's a good deal. But Sophie, what's the one sentence that sums up this book for you?
For me, it's that the world isn't falling apart, but it's definitely coming apart at the seams, and our only hope is to manage that disorder with a dose of humility and a lot of hard work. We'll see you in the next one.